First, we take a look at a new controversial study on salt consumption.
The large international study indicated that the amount of salt that most people eat is okay. It also showed that eating too little salt in your diet is almost as unhealthy as eating too much. But these findings contradict a lot of other research on salt, including another new study showing that too much sodium contributes to over a million deaths a year.
Here to help us sort out the salt wars, we have Dr. Patrick Remington. He's a professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences in the School of Medicine and Public Health at UW-Madison. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, we read the papers. We don't always know what to make of all this dueling data. Let's look at that one that seemed to say and was headlined often, hey, we're mostly doing okay when it comes to salt, and be careful, you could actually eat too little salt. What did you make of that?
Well, it was a large study that looked at 17 countries around the world and measured sodium once a day. And it found that when you look at people who are consuming a lot of salt, that there's a relationship. The more salt within that group consumed, the more high blood pressure, the more heart disease, and the more early deaths. Even in the middle group of salt consumers, there's a relationship. They suggest, there's a suggestion, though, in people eating a little bit of salt, and that would be considered a low-salt diet in this country, the relationship may not be there. In fact, maybe that's worse than the group that is in the middle section.
And do you buy that, the idea that we maybe are going too low when we go on a low-salt diet?
Well, the problem with this study and many other studies that use epidemiologic methods is that they observed a population and they studied free-living individuals. And there could be other reasons that people are consuming just a little bit of salt. An obvious one is maybe their doctor told them to do that because they had a medical problem. And although there are statistical and methodologic ways of controlling for this problem, it still could be present. So I think the best take-home message from this research is that too much salt is definitely bad for you. This study reaffirmed that, as did another study published in the New England Journal. But that when you get down to the low levels of salt, we're talking about really a low-salt diet, no added salt, and only eating low-salt foods, that may not be as good as we thought it was.
But the fact is, if you don't already know that you're in that low-salt group, you're not going to accidentally have that low-salt diet. Is that right?
Without a doubt. The average American eats about 3 to 4 grams of sodium per day. A low-sodium diet is 1.5. So if you're down to 1.5 grams a day, you will be consciously avoiding salt in prepared foods and processed meats and pizza and soups and things like that.
Now, you mentioned the average amount. How many of us are eating above that average amount to where we're just plain, nobody's arguing, we're eating too much salt?
Well, the average American eating 3 or 4 grams of salt has more salt in the diet than is recommended. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, these studies don't change the recommendations, which are to cut back on the amount of salt you eat, to avoid adding salt, and to look for salt in foods that you buy to make sure that they're either low in salt or certainly not high in salt.
Right. So it's not just when we reach for the salt shaker that we're getting the salt. A lot of our food, you're saying, already has salt in it.
Well, it turns out that about 90% of the sodium that we get in our daily diet comes from the foods typically that are processed. Obviously, if you put together your own, if you make your own bread or make your own soups, you know exactly how much salt is in there. There isn't salt in vegetables or fruits. So any salt that ends up in food is put in, and you just don't know what food processors and restaurants and other people who prepare your food are putting in your food. You can read the label, but reading labels is complicated. You have to think about serving size and other things.
Why is there so much salt in our packaged food and our restaurant food? Do we have an idea of why it's there?
Well, it is. I don't know why salty food tastes better, mm-hmm. But it does. You can have a no-salt soup, and if there's any fat in that soup, that fat tastes almost rancid. But you add 2 or 3 teaspoons of salt, and it gives it a bolder, better flavor. You can spice foods, vinegar and pepper and other spices, don't contain salt, and they can bring flavor to foods without having to add sodium. But it is clear that when you taste a food item, either pizza, some breads, and certainly processed meats, they taste the way they do because they're high in salt.
Let's get into the consequences a little more, the studies that led us to have this conversation, one of them pointing toward a million deaths every year, high sodium consumption. What specific health problems do we have when we eat too much salt over a long period of time?
Well, it's like a chain of events that begins. Salt does increase the risk of developing high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a risk for heart disease. It makes the heart work harder than it should. It's a risk for stroke. It can increase the chance of bleeding in the brain and having a stroke or dying from a stroke. And those things then lead to early deaths or certainly a lot of disease and morbidity and lower quality of life. So we really think about sodium as really the first step in a chain of events that leads to high blood pressure, and then it's absolutely established that high blood pressure is a serious risk factor for stroke and cardiovascular disease, and those lead to literally millions of years of life lost in society. So it's one of the risk factors. It's modifiable. You can change your diet and begin to find foods that are just as tasty but have lower amounts of salt.
You're in the public health profession. Does that chain you just described, salt leads to the blood pressure, leads to the other consequences, does that make it hard to sell people? It's not quite as simple as salt kills you. You know, this isn't poisonous tomorrow. Does it make it hard to sell that message?
Well, it not only makes it hard to sell that message, but salt, as we pointed out, tastes good. That in some cheeses and some processed meats and breads have salt that actually adds flavor that you don't really appreciate it, that it's salty, but you find it flavorful. So not only is the benefit from cutting back on salt delayed years and even decades, but that you're in effect giving something up. So clearly, if you change the norms and what is considered usual, over time, then in families, kids will be used to less salt. And what you find is as people begin to eat a low-salt diet, when you go out to dinner and you have a bowl of soup and it's salty, you'll actually comment that there's too much salt. You'll go home, you'll find yourself thirsty. And then you will have changed what your salt thermostat is telling you.
We have salt wars in my house. Sometimes when I make soup, I do it with very little salt, and my wife adds a lot of salt. I'm trying to meet her halfway sometimes. How do we start changing our salt thermostat? How do we do that nationwide?
Well, I think one other thing that this study did show was that when you get down to the low sodium level, it turns out that another chemical in our diet called potassium is really important. So when you are a low sodium consumer, if you're also not getting enough potassium, that can be a problem. So what you actually want to do is cut back on salt, but at the same time, think about ways of adding potassium to your diet. Bananas are the most obvious source of potassium, but green leafy vegetables, avocados, and a lot of fruits and vegetables, fish, salmon, for example, is high in potassium. So if you increase the potassium, then you don't need, in effect, to decrease the sodium as much. So you can, in a way, have your potassium and not have to cut back as much on salt.
So a little less salt, a little less sodium, a little more potassium, and we can kind of meet it halfway there.
And these studies clearly showed that the highest risk population was those groups with low sodium consumption and low potassium. So if you're going to do anything, add more foods that are healthy, more fresh fruits and vegetables that are high in potassium, and then the sodium equation becomes less important.
If you had to pick one starting point for kind of the point of entry, the our individual tastes, the food industry, the medical profession. Who needs to get the ball rolling on salt?
I'd say all of the above. clearly, the food industry needs to be told by consumers. Food industry doesn't just do things. They meet consumer demand. So as consumers begin to demand foods that are lower in sodium, as evidenced by the label, then the producers, manufacturers will respond. So I think be aware of the issue that sodium is an important potential health risk, that too much salt can lead to disease. And then as you change your tastes, not by taking things away necessarily, but adding other spices, you'll increase the demand for those foods and manufacturers will produce them.
We're talking to Dr. Patrick Remington about one new study that questions some of the conventional wisdom, saying everybody needs to cut salt from their diets, and that came along with a couple other studies at the same time offering contradictions to that.
And we're taking your calls on this. Well, how much salt do you eat? What are you trying to do to cut your salt intake? And what kind of diet do you follow to be healthy? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your salt questions. And you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. We continue our conversation now with Dr. Patrick Remington about how much salt we should or shouldn't consume.
And we're taking your calls. How do you limit salt in your diet? Do you limit salt in your diet in any way, shape, or form? Is it something you haven't thought of, or is it something you've started reading labels to find? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@wpr.org. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Mike on the line in Appleton. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I wonder, I have a salt addiction. I'm concerned. My dad had supposedly had TIA problems, mini strokes. Am I susceptible to that if my blood pressure is always perfect? That's one question. Light salt, is that an option to reduce sodium and also salt substitutes? I'm wondering what to look for.
Mike, thanks for the call. I'm guessing, regardless of family history, if Mike's saying he's a salt addict, a sodium addict, Pat, you would say he should cut back.
Well, I'm not sure salt fits the definition for addiction, not like heroin and other substances. But you do feel like it's hard sometimes to cut back. You have such a learned such a taste for high salt. So I think the best advice is to try and improve the taste of food with things other than salt. You do have light salt. Those are salt substitutes. They replace the sodium, which turns out to be the bad chemical, with potassium, which is good. But I think rather than trying to, you know, titrate your level of potassium and sodium by shaking salt on the food, it's better to look for potassium in natural fruits and vegetables, and basically eat a varied diet and try and avoid shaking salt on any food. There's plenty of salt and sodium in the foods that we get through manufacturers, and that should be sufficient. Now, he mentioned that it may have a family history of stroke or transient ischemic attacks. I think we're all at risk, really, of cardiovascular disease. There are very few people who can say that I'm basically immune from the effects of sodium. So about one-third of the population has high blood pressure. If you get to be 65 or 70 years of age, it's two-thirds. So virtually everybody is susceptible to high blood pressure and then the diseases like heart disease and stroke.
You know, before we get back to callers at 800-642-1234, you've been on the Ideas Network a lot of times talking about different health topics. And when it comes to diet, it seems like we're scurrying from one thing to another. Too much salt? No. Too little salt? Too much fat? No. Eat more fat. Is there a way we could kind of take all that and build a better way of eating?
It's a great comment that as Americans, or maybe it's the research enterprise, we tend to reduce, we like to reduce our diet to its components, not just to, foods, but to the chemicals within the foods. So it's now trans fats and sodium and, you know, different dietary constituents. What we really should do is look at a holistic way. A look at populations that live a long, healthy life and eat varied foods, like the Mediterranean population. The Mediterranean diet is actually not low in fat. It's high in liquid fats and olive oil and other liquid oils. It also has dairy, but it has low-fat dairy, things like yogurt. And the most important thing is it's built on a foundation of active living, so that a diet when people are sedentary is different than a diet when you're very active and burning calories. So, again, I get back to pretty simple advice. Stay active and eat more of healthy foods and avoid some of the unhealthy things like added salt.
Well, and added salt often comes with the added fat and other things like that in packaged food. So is there a tip there? You mentioned when we make our own food, we tend to put less salt in it.
Well, I think progress over the 1960s, the answer was TV dinners, that, you know, we'd all be better off when you come home and you just can take the dinner out of the freezer and have a meal for your entire family. It turns out that when you prepare your own food, there research has demonstrated convincingly that people who prepare their own food have healthier diets and live longer, better lives. Now, it takes time to prepare your own food, but you're better for it. That processed foods tend to be less healthy, but as a smart shopper, you can look at the ingredients, and I'm sure that you can find foods that are as healthy, but it's a little harder to find, and they may be higher priced than you're willing to pay.
Well, I'm so suggestible. Unfortunately, I really want a TV dinner now. Thanks.
Wouldn't that be good?
but I won't. We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Beth on the line in Burlington. Beth, hi.
Hi. I just had a question. You know, you guys are talking about low-salt diets, and you're suggesting adding potassium in, you know, to kind of counter-effect the low salt. What do you do when you need to have a low salt and low potassium diet? What would you suggest then?
Well, that's the research actually looked at people who have low salt, low sodium, and low potassium, and that makes there is a question in the research whether that may not be as good as having a little more sodium. So, I'm not sure exactly the reasons for having to cut down on potassium, but I would say that avoid adding sodium or potassium, but looking for foods that come naturally with potassium. But there are some people that need to cut down on potassium and avoid even dietary sources, and I think I'd follow the advice of whatever healthcare provider gave you that advice.
I imagine there's a lot of people out there. Well, heck, I don't know how much salt I eat. How do we know if we're in the category of people who consume too much salt?
I have to be honest. In preparing for this interview, I had to look up what 2 grams of sodium is. First of all, it never comes as sodium. It comes as sodium chloride. And sodium chloride is about 40%. Salt is about 40% sodium and about 60% chloride. So when you have a level teaspoon of salt, you're getting about 2.5 grams of sodium. And you should, if you added that to food, that puts you right where you should be, the total amount of sodium you should have in a day. It's only 1 teaspoon. Most people eat 2 full teaspoons of sodium in a day. That's about 4 to 5 grams.
And if we're eating already salty food, I got to say, I have a limited tolerance for eating salt. And I see people salting, say, French fries at a fast food restaurant. And yeah, I'm there at the fast food restaurant eating plenty of sodium myself. But if we're adding extra salt to this already salty food, what kind of range is that putting us in?
Oh, it's easy to get. There are some individuals that consume 8, 10 or more grams of sodium. And there's no question that that puts a stress on the kidneys, that significantly increases the risk of high blood pressure. And let me point out that even though these studies are debating the health benefits of low-sodium diets, and that is still a debate, there's no debate on whether high-sodium diets are associated with increased risk of high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, and early death. There's all the research has consistently shown that over time.
Now, doctors, I assume any doctor we talk to is going to be more or less on board with what you're saying. We go to our family doctor or whatever they're not confused. They're going to want us to cut back on our salt a little for the most part.
Yeah, and again, it depends whether you have hypertension or not, whether you have high blood pressure. That may be – so the advice may be different whether you're currently under treatment by a physician. But I think the general advice is avoid adding salt and look for fresh fruits and vegetables which are high in potassium. And also avoid processed foods that are high in sodium. And that should provide you with a healthy diet. And on a foundation of physical activity, you'll do well.
And have I seen that health organizations are starting to have been lowering the bar over the years? What we used to consider an acceptable amount of salt is now viewed as too high based on more recent research?
The research, again, shows that as a country, the U.S., is up at about twice the level of the recommended level. If you look on a food label, you'll see about 2.5 grams of sodium is recommended. But the American Heart Association and other organizations recommend about 1.5 grams. So I think you should be at or below the recommended daily allowance. And you can, when you buy any food, you can look at the amount, look at the percent, and as you start adding that up, stay below 100% of the 2.5 grams a day.
Okay. That's a good recommendation for people looking to make sense of that. As a public health guy, are we catching on in the public when it comes to salt?
Well, that has been slow. There's been progress in other areas. Clearly, cigarette smoking, we've made significant progress. People have cut back on the amount of fat in the diet. But the salt seems to be one that's harder to change. And we continue to see high rates of high blood pressure. About a third of the population still has high blood pressure. And a lot of that could be prevented through better diets.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Remington, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Patrick Remington. He's a professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences in the School of Medicine and Public Health at UW-Madison.